Yeah, so my wife and I had a very special, it was my birthday in September, you know, same as yours. She said, well, what do you want for your birthday? I said, we're going to do something very special. I said, we're going to watch a movie you've never seen before. It's called Star Wars. No, I'm serious. She had never seen Star Wars.
Oh, that's right.
She did know that Darth Vader was Luke's father, but she didn't know when the line was going to come. She had no clue. So she's like,
did I ever tell you about my roommate that didn't know that? I'll keep it really short. I found out that my roommate, this is a bit about 2009, had not seen Star Wars and did not know who Luke Skywalker's father was. I just figured this out and talking to him and realized, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm going to show it to him. I'm going to hide a camera. I'm going to post it on YouTube and say, this is what it looks like when someone finds out. I'm so excited.
An adult.
Yeah.
Nowadays it's only
this is what it looks like. Because I don't know how old I was when I found out. I don't remember the moment when I found out. I just always known. So anyway, we watched the first one. He says, yeah, it's okay. We watch Empire, and about halfway through, or more like two-thirds of the way through, he starts getting tired. So I'm like, okay, I don't want him falling asleep through it. We'll finish it tomorrow morning. He walks in the next evening and goes, Brian, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. And I'm just stunned. And apparently he was at some kind of meeting or something. You saw somebody with an Anakin Skywalker keychain. He was like, who is that? Is that Luke? And they went, no, that's Anakin. That's Luke's father. And they basically gave it away by accident. So, listen, to summarize, my roommate somehow managed to get through the first 20-something years of his life without knowing this. And literally, less than an hour before we watched it, someone spoiled it.
Wow.
I was inconsolable for, like, weeks. I would think
that
I was...
That is terrible.
Because he had a busy schedule. It took weeks to finally get him to watch it. And I've been thinking about it and getting so excited. Anyway.
So are you ready for a question, Glumpuddle? Where is your mindset? Where do you think that... where do you think the silver chair is right now, realistically?
Realistically, it's just, I would imagine, I just think in this world, and the reason I always say, oh, I'm sure that it's going to get made at some point, is just in this world of prequels and reboots and remakes and requels and, you know, board games getting made into movies, it's like, how can somebody not at some point get to those other four Narnia books? We just got, it was in, during our long hiatus, this is our first podcast in over a year.
It is.
Which I take full responsibility for. Life's been extremely crazy. It's not done changing yet, but I'm living on the other side of the country now and the changes aren't done, but finally getting back into Narnia podcast. And by the way, I just broke my own rule. I hate it when people begin videos or a series of any kind with, hey, sorry it's been so long since my last video, but here's a long explanation of my personal life. Anyway, back to the review. Where I'm at with the silver chair is I still think it'll get made eventually. Or eventually is not a very comforting word to hear, but I think it's we'll probably still hear maybe another year from now we'll hear another thing like, oh, rumor has it that so-and-so is interested or some actor got contacted or some producer says something or Gresham lets something slip or whatever. That's where I'm at right now. But the main reason we're doing this, by the way, everyone, is 2 years since the Mark Gordon Company announced that they were making the silver chair. And so that was on October 1st, 2013. And here we are 2 years later. And since that time, David McGee's been hired. And now, early this year, in January, Mark Gordon Company and E1 created a little independent studio. So that felt like maybe it was setting the stage for silver chair. Recently, Gresham on YouTube just kind of reaffirmed, yep, we're still trying to get it made and get it made independently. In fact, here's the clip right here.
The next Narnia movie we're making in a slightly different way. We're sort of doing it as an independent production unit in production partnership with another company. We've got some wonderful people in it. And we're going to try to do this by ourselves and do it the way we all believe it should be done. And we'll see what happens.
I mean, yes, it's encouraging to know that they are still trying to work on it. I'm like you. I do think that it's it will get made someday, but I think it's almost as likely, just looking at momentum and all of that, I think it's almost as likely that this project continue on and get made as it is that, you know, someone else reboots it in the next 15 years and just starts over. And it gets made that way.
I mean, obviously, that's decent progress has been made if they did the thing with the naming competition with the Lady of the Green Curl. It's a strong indicator, okay, that I'm sure a draft of the script exists. Probably a few drafts, I think, of the script does exist. And the reason for the holdup seems to be, just from what Gresham said, I really think he just wants to make it independently, wants to get as little interference as possible and make it the way, you know, he thinks it should be done, being faithful to the book and being quality film and all that. So I think that's the big reason for the holdup. And I guess that's not, as reasons go, that's not a bad one. You know, I guess it's better that than the other extreme. And and that really puts him in a position, I think, of probably having to settle for a lower budget Narnia movie. And which is probably the thing that another thing that sort of inspired this podcast is in the forum over in General Movie Discussion, Narnia Weber and Narnia Tourist posted a thread called Narnia on Netflix, which really got me thinking. I'd never given that much thought until reading the thread. What's your gut reaction to that? First off, just really briefly, like, what's your experience with Netflix? What's your sense of them as terms of original productions and as a company? And I don't know, Narnia as a Netflix series, what's your gut reaction to that?
My first reaction is if they did that, I would almost want it to be rebooted and have them just start off. And it could work well, obviously.
Like with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you mean?
Mm-hmm. And partly just because I think they would almost want as much material as possible just to continue a successful run. I don't think it would really hurt the quality, especially just with the way technology is these days. And I've watched House of Cards, still finishing the third season, and I have not seen the fourth season of Longmire, which they picked up and renewed. Well, I have not, I don't know the budget, for example, with House of Cards, but I cannot think of a single aspect, because they've had some big name actors in that, obviously the two leads, and I can't think of a single aspect of that show where the budget shows.
Well, they don't have CG lions in that, in House of Cards.
True. True.
For a few issues you raised, number one, quality. Hard to say. I mean, basically, Aslan's the major hurdle to overcome there. I mean, Puddleglum, okay, they don't have to do Puddleglum with CGI. They don't have to do that. And we've always said, hey, if you were going to make a low-budget Narnia movie, it would be The Silver Chair. Which you didn't necessarily assume that, as far as you were thinking, if they were going to do that, you would just say, let's go ahead and just reboot it and start over with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I think that is, much as it would be interesting to see like a serialized version of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, that's been done before, I know, in the, late 80s, BBC had their attempt. I don't think I like that. It would feel redundant. A lot of people saw that movie. A lot of people know the book. I don't think that would catch people's attention. Like, oh, wow, this is something to see. So I think definitely, I think it effectively is going to be a reboot. Even if they tried really, really hard to connect it to the other movies, there's, you know, you're not going to recast Will Poulter, one would imagine. And I see a lot of posts about that in the forum. And guys, Google a video of Will Poulter. I'm sorry. I thought he was pretty good as Eustace too, but it's not going to happen. This is just not going to happen.
He's still doing the Maze Runner movies, I think.
So I think I definitely want to go with The Silver Chair. It's effectively going to be a reboot either way. There aren't enough returning characters. It's 70 years later for Narnia. It's just everything is so different. It might as well be a reboot. As far as amount of material, I don't know. It depends. I don't think they would. I think you've already got a lot. My guess is you wouldn't do one episode per book. You'd probably, BBC tended to, like, Silver Chair was 6 episodes. Daredevil had 13 episodes for their season. So that's 2 seasons right there.
So can I clarify, you're still thinking a series, not like a Netflix original movie?
That's definitely what I'm thinking. It would be a series.
Do you think it would work better as a series or be more successful?
I think it would. I think one thing the series does is it puts, and I enjoyed Netflix's original, overall, I enjoyed Netflix's Daredevil series. I've also seen some of House of Cards, and that's a very good show. I thought Daredevil was really well done overall. One thing about it is I think it puts less pressure on them to deliver on the action, to deliver on the scope. And so, like, a lot of Daredevil tends to be long, intense dialogue scenes. They're just less putting great actors in a room and just letting them go. That's what most of Daredevil is. Obviously, the episode has at least one fight scene, and the fight scenes are well done.
Right, and I even understand. I have not. I have watched the first episode of Game of Thrones from season one, but I understand. Even though that is, I hear there's a lot of action in the show. Overall, it's still not like there's action scenes all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that the expectations of pacing are completely different. When you go to a movie, you want the complete package. Give me the emotion, give me the drama, give me the themes. Just give it all to me right now. And when you've got something like a Netflix series, so I think you get a lot more developed characters, obviously, in dialogue. And there's not so much pressure to deliver everything right now in this one package. And people tend to binge watch, obviously, they found. People don't tend to watch them over.
Almost, I think it was over 40% of the viewers of House of Cards Season 2 watched all of it in 48 hours.
Which I don't understand, personally. I like to break it up, but that tends to be the model. And so there's
are these people like unemployed but somehow afford Netflix?
So I think it could be really good. And I've been saying for a while, I kind of like the idea of smaller, more conservative in scope kind of Narnia productions. That doesn't bother me. You got to figure out Aslan. If you can just figure out how to do Aslan, I think you can make it work. So I think this is a potentially really exciting idea, just because a lot of what Netflix has done just seems to be quality so far. By the way, they're making, of course, a series of unfortunate events now, adapting that into a series.
I did hear about that. I didn't know it was Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know quite how they're doing that. I don't know if it's going to be one episode per book or how they're doing that. But
what I've wondered, as far as reputation, I know Marvel has a history. I'm just using them as a studio example. They have a history of letting actors do a lot of what they want with the characters. And there are some studios that have a reputation more or less than others of basically being friendly with the writers, with the original content.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about Netflix, like how they've been with, say, the original source material, Daredevil?
I have no idea. I can tell you that... I think I'm enough of a fan of Daredevil to say with confidence that it is a pretty faithful adaptation of the comics.
Okay.
No, I guess the answer is I don't know.
But still, the fact that it's a faithful adaptation, because I have no idea of the comics, obviously that's good. I thought it was interesting how, because at some point, obviously, the studios have to make money. But they also need to remember, they're working with artists. And the only... You know, some films, I mean, good grief, you have the Transformers films that are they're super successful. You have to remember that you have to, at some point, favor the art, because that's why the genre even exists. And I think at some point, people even always come back to that. You know, I think that even though people like their popcorn flicks and stuff, I think at some point the genre survives because of the art aspect of it. And you think about the films that really push the industry forward and the films that people go back to decades later. It's because at the time, those films they succeeded as an art, not just as Ben-Hur was the Transformers of its day and it was a big multi-million dollar film. No, the reason Ben-Hur still survived even to today and is still regarded as a quality film is because of the art aspect. I don't know if Netflix would agree with that.
Well, I really think it's just, in terms of art, I think as a producer, you'd like to take risks, and you'd like to try something that's different and get people's attention. So not just do the cookie-cutter thing every time, but the more money that's on the line, the less you want to do that.
Do you think that the Netflix model, because they are making all their episodes and they release them all at once. I think that's how they've done every single series. Uh-huh. Is that more risky than the traditional television model where, hey, you know what, guys, we're going to cut our losses. Firefly is kind of so-so. We're going to cut it. It's having a so-so response. We're going to cut it halfway through the season.
Just make them all at once, yeah.
Do you think that's more risky?
I don't know. Netflix sure doesn't seem to think so. That's what they just do with everything. So that's definitely the model. Just make them all and then just spit them all out there at the same time. So most likely, if we got... I don't know how they would handle it, but if we got, a Narnia Netflix series, just boom, we would have hours of Narnia content. Oh my gosh, the all-nighter I would have. But anyway,
guess what, guys? We decided to reboot the entire series, books 1 through 7. Boom!
Boom! Hear that? Can you hear the explosion? You know, just of oh my gosh, 7 books of material to watch right now. Ah,
and you'd have to say, explode. I take back everything I said about binge watching.
Oh, I would absolutely for that. So I think that you know, and this is I'd be excited, but if tomorrow I saw an announcement Netflix is making Narnia films, I would, there's no doubt, I would jump for joy. I would be much more excited than if I heard, oh, Warner Brothers is partnered with Mark Gordon Company and they're going to make, you know, a Silver Chair movie. I think I'd be, which would probably mean it would get a much bigger budget. But which of those two announcements would excite me more? The Warner Brothers big budget epic or the Netflix probably smaller but more content and probably... You know, I think it's the Netflix one that I would get more excited by at this point. And you know, like we always said, the Silver Chair, that's the low-budget Narnia movie to make. And so I think it's a really great place to start. If it's a really a huge hit, well, maybe we can start talking about Magician's Nephew or Horse and His Boy. I just, especially watching Daredevil, there was so much, it was just so refreshing to see a superhero story that it was so dialogue heavy, and yes, every episode had to have an action scene in there somewhere, but it's well done, and there's so much emphasis on the characters. There's not so much pressure to deliver everything in this one episode. It's okay if we can have one episode where, you know, not a huge amount happens, because they know people are going to binge watch. You know, it's okay if in this episode not a ton happens. So just like Fantasia Kitty and Lake Lacrimose and Felon Velvel. Yeah, that. Yeah, her. just like them. Sorry about that. If you're listening, just like that, I'd be pretty on board with it. I'd be really excited. I hope it happens.
Well, I hope so too. I guess at this point, it's still kind of amazing to me. I mean, each of the first three films had issues actually getting made, especially the second and third one. And, you know, we thought, oh, it's greenlit. No, it's not greenlit. Then we thought, what does greenlit mean? You know? So, we'll see. I'm sorry to say, I kind of don't want to say I'll believe it when I see it, because then I feel like that attitude takes away from the kind of the fun Narnia web geekiness.
It's still 2 years. Been 2 years. I don't think it's a little early to say, oh, I guess it's not going to happen. Like, if it was announced tomorrow, I think we would look back and feel pretty silly. Wow, after 2 years, we'd given up, you know?
Right.
2 years is not actually that long. The other option I want to entertain is any quick thoughts on how you'd feel about an animated Silver Chair movie? I posted a poll about this on the Narnia Web homepage earlier this year. Just asked, how would you feel about an animated Silver Chair movie? And the winner with 55% of the vote was, they better not, ! And then with in second place, with 19%, said they don't feel comfortable with that. Another 19% said they were open to the idea. And then finally, 7%, that's what I'm hoping for. So basically, the majority, if that poll is any reflection, the majority of Narnia Webbers really don't like the idea of an animated film. I think I might be open to it. What do you think?
I'm open to it. The reason I kind of am hesitant to say, oh, sure, is because I'm thinking about different animated shows and movies that I've seen, and just seeing how they've been done. You know, obviously I've seen cartoons or computer animated movies and shows I have not watched much of Clone Wars or Star Wars Rebels, and I've heard that they're good. But I've thought, well, okay, I know some of that have handled some funny material, and I liked it. There have been some that I guess have handled some kind of in-the-middle type material in terms of seriousness or humor that I've heard have been successful. Obviously, there are shows like Ghost in the Shell that are amazingly well done. And they're animated. But the thing is, I can't think of any that have handled any kind of material like the like Narnia, and when I say material like Narnia, I mean material that it requires a certain amount of a great amount of depth in terms of how you handle the source material, but at the same time, it is light. It's not dark, brooding, and it's deep but not overly serious. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but I can't think of anything that I've seen where I thought, man, the guy who did that would be very equipped to do Narnia.
Well, I have, and his name is Tom Moore. He directed Secret of the Kells and Song of the Sea.
Okay, I haven't
which
seen
are, it. Yeah, which I just think are excellent. I think they're really good movies, and they're very they don't feel like they're just for kids. They don't feel overly commercial. They're very the style is very just really creative and really well done. And that'd be one thing. If you were going to make it – by the way, this is would not be the first time. There has been an animated Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movie. And
that we shall not speak of. I hated it.
I only saw it once. It was a long time ago. I didn't think it was that bad. Remember, I kind of liked the music.
I watched it a few times.
And I remember they got rid of Father Christmas. I didn't like that. But and Aslan's voice was a little – it's always Aslan's voice they cannot get right. But I remember it had some interesting – they changed the structure of it, which I didn't know if I liked it, but I thought it was interesting. Anyway, I should take another look at that animated Narnia movie and do a review. If they were going to do an animated Narnia film, I think I would almost certainly want it to be 2D and do something really stylized and fairy tale and storybook. But something really that didn't feel like it was just for kids. An animated one that had a very adult edge to it. And those seem to be, if you're going for a low-budget Narnia movie, those seem to be kind of the two routes to go. Either do something that's a Netflix kind of model or Amazon or whatever, Hulu or whatever, or stream it online, or do an animated one, or both.
I would still prefer it be live action. Okay, when I read a book and my imagination depicts the characters in the book, I can kind of go into saying, you know what? Everything I am seeing with my imagination here is just as real as the world around me. I can kind of get into that mode. And even though there are some animated stories and serious and not that I really get into and enjoy, I don't ever have that with them. Maybe I'm the only one, and maybe it's just kind of selfish reasons why I would want to experience that with Narnia.
Mm-hmm. I just recently that made me think of. I just recently listened to a podcast from EssentialCSLewis.com. It's the All About Jack podcast with William O'Flaherty. I highly recommend. But I was listening to C.S. Lewis writing about stories and how what Lewis really read a story for was the atmosphere. And Lewis was relating when he was talking to a student who said that for. The student was saying, well, for me, it's about the excitement. And Lewis was saying that it's what he responded to was the atmosphere. And you can certainly see that in the Narnia books, you know, that Lewis spends a lot of time describing what it felt, what it sounded like, what it felt like, what it tasted like. And there's much more emphasis on that than furthering the story and characters necessarily. And I just think if you had like a small animated movie, like nothing too ambitious in terms of story, like we're just trying to create a world here. Or more so a Netflix series, there's just time to just be in this world. There's not so much pressure to accomplish so much. There's just time to just exist in this world. I think I saw that in Daredevil, of just a lot of time to spend on creating atmosphere. So it's just something I think could work really well. And with an animated movie, I think that would be one way to, because you can just put a whole style and a whole look, and there are no rules. You can really create an atmosphere. All right, well, let's... So that's where we're at right now. Would I like to see an Narnia movie? Obviously, well, only if it's well done. You know, if one was announced, I would be really excited. And hopefully it won't be another year before we do another podcast. I'm sure we'll do the book, we'll pick up on the book commentaries again soon. We'll start doing The Horse and His Boy. Mm-hmm. If you have any discussion questions for us for Horse and His Boy, please send them to podcast@narniaweb.com.
And, or you can tweet them. I'm @Prince_Rillian.
Yep, or @Glumpuddle. What's my official position on Narnia? Like, I don't know if I want them to make one, you know? And basically, everyone who's listening to the podcast, you can go ahead and listen to this part, and I'm going to ask you to turn it off in a second. I want to tell you what my private feelings actually are. Okay, my official position is that, well, I'd be pretty skeptical, and it seems unlikely that they'll be very good, and I don't know, it just depends on if they're good, you know? I'd probably be, you know, hopeful, but pretty skeptical if they announced it, you know?
Right.
Okay, now everybody can stop listening, because now this is just for Rillian. No one else is allowed to listen. Okay, good. You stopped listening. Good. So, but really, I couldn't help but be excited. They're making an Arnie movie. So just like Star Wars, where it's like inside, I'm like, oh, grumble, grumble. Oh, George Lucas, the prequels, blah blah blah. But whenever I see a Star Wars trailer, it's like, oh my gosh, C-3PO. Oh my gosh, Han Solo.
I know.
Can't help but feel. And I almost
all
hate
of
myself.
The Star Wars trailers look pretty amazing.
Hate myself for being. Excited about
well,
it.
Here's
Star
a question.
Wars and I get excited.
My plan, because I showed my wife the original, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. And
you married this woman when she hadn't seen Star Wars, by the way.
Well, you know, some things you just assume about someone. Like, you marry someone, you think, I just have assumed that they know what a hamburger tastes like. You know, that I assume that they've seen Star Wars, you know, that she is an American
stuff.
After all. And then the next plan was, okay, the next Star Wars movie that she will watch is we're probably going to go to the theater and see Star Wars Episode 7. Although they actually aren't really calling it Episode 7, it's just Star Wars The Force Awakens, kind of like the style they did.
That's just the marketing. They'll have Episode 7 in the title screen, I'm sure.
Yeah, but so the thing is, I thought, and she goes, well, but aren't there other Star Wars movies that I should see? I'm like, no! She's like, well, I feel like I should kind of experience the whole thing. Well, I don't know if we should even watch those. And she's like, well, I feel like I'm missing out, because aren't there some things that I kind of...
No,
it's like,
you're not missing
I'm
out.
I'm thinking,
no,
like,
no, no,
well,
no,
first
no.
of all, it doesn't really matter that Darth Vader built C-3PO. That's kind of pointless.
Uh-huh, exactly. All right, well, thanks a lot, really, and let's do this again soon.
We will. Thank you, Glumpuddle,
Keep the commentaries... We'll keep the book commentaries going, and if anyone's interested in listening, if anyone's actually listening to this, post a comment and let us know there's actually people listening, because... And we can just—we don't have to record our conversations. We can just—that's
true.
We don't have to, you know, put so much of our nerdiness online. So let us know if you're listening.
Sounds good.